Okay.
My name is Alex Hun. I'm 18 years old. Today is November 24th, 2018. I'm recording this in our house in Annandale, Virginia, and I'm speaking with my mom, Julie, and my dad, James.
Hi, my name is Julie. I'm Alexander Hun's mom. I'm 55 years old.
Hello, I'm James Hun. I'm Alex's father. I am also 55 years old.
So I brought you guys here today to talk about more about the years after your childhood and more into your adult years, your young adult years, just how you developed into a parent, an adult, stuff like that, and a professional. But first, can you guys like recap what happened during your childhood years in Cambodia and Vietnam?
Okay. Yes. We were born in Cambodia, but to Chinese parents, and our parents was business people, so we have pretty comfortable life during our early years in Cambodia. However, there's an event that happened in 1975 when the communists took over the country, and we were city people, we live in the capital, and when the communists took over, they chased everybody out of the city. And that's where our lives start to change completely.
Mm-hmm.
From one day, from pretty comfortable middle class to the next day, that we don't know what's going to happen the next day. We just get chased out of home, our city, and to go to live in the countryside to be the farmer.
So we just left the communist Khmer Rouge come to our house. That day is April 17, 1975, and then they asked that you guys have to leave your house and go to the countryside.
I don't think that at first they lied to us. They didn't say you leave to go to countryside. Everybody had to leave the city for 3 days. Making sure that there's no remnant of the pro-American soldiers, and there's also sometimes they say American going to bomb the city, so we need to evacuate to avoid being bombed.
Yeah, and then my grandma's come over, and she cried. She said that you guys have to bring some food and some clothing. Everything you need to bring, you just bring. If not, you guys not to coming back home. So she cried, and then she said that I have to leave now. So I have to go back to my house go out with my uncle. From that day, she left, and then we never see her again.
My father, he's on opposite side. His reasoning is that, we're going to come back. He was truly believing what they're saying. He said, we'll come back in 3 days, so we don't need to bring many stuff, because we come back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people, there's rumors circling around that say, we will never come back again. But my father said, that's nonsense, because they get the whole country. This is a capital. They will govern from the capital. So there will be people living in the capital. So my father said, don't bring too much. Just bring enough.
Why was this such like an unknown kind of event? Did they plan it all, like the Khmer Rouge, did they plan it all in the background so no one knew about it?
The Khmer Rouge was very secretive. Nobody even know that who's the leader. We know kind of hear the name, but every time they say, they don't mention the name. They just call brother Anka, like a Anka. High organization.
Yeah.
You ask something, they will say, you go further out, and then you will ask the high organization. They only say that. And that's why nobody know anything about what's the plan.
So we just left the house, we walked. No, don't know where we go. So we just walk.
So you guys were 12 years old. Like in the midst of your educational life, how did it affect you that you had to change your mindset to a mindset of learning, working, to the mindset of having to survive every day?
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh,
How did that like affect your psychology, your mentality on life, your enthusiasm?
I don't know. I really don't know how. But the only thing I know is that one day we were just 12 years old, school, go to school and learning, live comfortable life. And the next day we was chase our home, chase our city to go to some place that we don't know where. They just say, get out of the city, just go further. And, you know, we see people who are living on the street,
just
like
a thousand
people. And I don't know, I really don't know how does it happen, but somehow we was able to survive, and then we just kind of know exactly what we're doing. Just like I guess when the situation pushes you and you have no other choice, then
you
say, rather than dwelling about something in the past or try to feel sorry for yourself, you just switch into the mode, that survival mode, and do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
So, like, you would say the atmosphere of your family was like instantly are thinking about survival? Because I feel like if that happened in America, the same situation, I feel like the nation would be really in disarray. Everyone would have kind of a tough time dealing with that, because we're so not exposed to that life where we're fighting for our survival. We're already given everything that we need for survival. How is that different in Cambodia? How would you?
I would disagree with that. Right now, because we never face things like that, but I believe once we have something like that, we all will be switched into that mode. We know exactly our survival instinct kick in. Just like, remember September 11?
Yeah.
Like, we were so resilient. Yeah, of course, there will be hardship, there will be difficulty. There's people that cannot get over with it, but majority of us, I believe, will be kicking into survival mode and move on and try to.
If you don't have food, you just get anything exchange, no money use. So if you have a saw, so you will exchange to the local people. They have an egg or they have a rice, so you exchange, exchange something to something.
Yeah.
So you got to survive. So you just if you cook rice, you don't cook rice. You cook porridge, a lot of water. Instead of put a lot of rice.
Okay.
So just try to go each day how you can survive. You don't know how you going the next day you're going to survive or not. And then you just feel very bad and then sad. But you have to find a way that how. And then I just go to the forest to pick up the wood to, you know, make the fire to cook. And they just find something. Like go to the river to catch the snail or whatever we have. Or if the first few weeks is still good. You can exchange something to something, but after that you go to the countryside, you're not going to do, you know, you're not going to can exchange anything.
Right.
So the reason why your mom said exchange, because as soon as they took over the entire country, they abolished school, schools closed, markets closed. And money become useless. They don't use any money anymore.
Completely,
they throw away everything.
Yeah. No anything.
Yeah, that's why.
No hospital, no school.
You cannot
go
to the market and buy. You cannot use the money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So basically.
Yeah. And then you have to find a way to go to the countryside. And then when you go to the countryside, they will ask you to go to plant the field, plant the rice field. So you have to go to do. And then I have to go to watch the cow.
Mm-hmm.
Let them, you know.
Take care of the cow.
Let them have, grass to eat and become young. And then all the older have to do some job.
So I know you guys were young, 12 years old. But did you have any, did you ever question why they were doing this? Like, why they were doing it to you? Did you ever think of, how you could rebel, maybe? Or was it just too dangerous, too scary to ever do that?
Oh, we have to think about that, but we just scared. We because we don't have anything to against them.
Mm.
Yeah, because they have the gun. They will like force you. You need to do that.
Yeah.
They, so if you against them, they will
shoot
you.
They are,
and then
very
you will die.
Cruel and mean people.
Yeah, mean people.
Okay.
They make, like, you know.
Not talking about just rebellion. If you just questioning them or you don't follow their direction, you could get killed. Is it just for them?
So everybody just scared.
And I never think about that. It just happened to me, put it this way. I didn't think it happened to everybody in the country during the time. So it's not me personally. So therefore, I'm just feeling
yeah.
It happened. Yeah, I do sometimes wondering what were they thinking. As now, then I don't know because
right.
I was too young to think. I just, and then I don't think we have much, did much thinking during that time. That time, because we all
makes
were
sense.
So concerned about survival and what is next, what is tomorrow, what will be next. So therefore, we don't think about those things.
So I know after you guys ran to Vietnam, and you're talking about not doing a lot of thinking and you're more focused on survival. So in Vietnam, where you lived, how long did you live in Vietnam for?
I lived in Vietnam for 14 years. 14.
I lived for 9 years.
Nine?
Yeah.
So that's like when that's like a time where you settled down in like a couple months from all that terror.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you develop in terms of work ethic and your education during that time,
okay.
or if you did?
Yeah, the local Vietnam, they let us, sending people to our house at nighttime to teach us 1 hour, 2 hours a night. So for the older people, and then like me, I'm younger, so I have to go to the local school at nighttime. They open for like the refugee like us, so go to there, and then we can learn some Vietnamese, so we can talk, we can communicate, and then we can live in there.
I forgot about that because like there's a language barrier, right?
We don't know anything when we
right.
come
but
to Vietnam.
We never planned to go to Vietnam, put it this way,
yeah.
when it started.
Oh,
we all that was not our plan. Like I said, everything we do is just like a next thing, what is tomorrow we're going to do? It so happened that for my situation, after a while that we realized that we could not go back to our home in the city, so my parents decided to go to the countryside where they were born, where we still have some relative in there. When we got in there, we realized that the place is really also everybody was so poor as well because they was under communist regime for a while, and we got there. We get some support from them initially, but they just even though they really want to help us, but they could not because they themselves have nothing to much to eat anyway. After a while, we feel like we start to run out of food supply. They also run out of food supply. And disease start to kick in. I get all this, like, infection. My eyes, my leg, my sister get like severe malaria. My mom gets sick, and food start running out. So I don't know. I don't know how my parents they somehow they hear and they see some Vietnamese people because that's in the border, the region we live like on border to Vietnam. They are leaving Cambodia back to Vietnam. So my parents just decided to, just escape with them and go to Vietnam, which we never been there. We don't know what is in Vietnam. So, but they just decided, hey, probably this is a better place because we probably will die of starvation, disease, or execution anywhere here. So we take a chance to escape. In my case, really escaping because there's no paperboard thing that say we can't go to Vietnam. And remember, Cambodian and Vietnamese are really like a blood enemy. If you Cambodian people is saying thing that you want to go to Vietnam, you might get killed because you are considered as a traitor.
So how is life different in Vietnam? Was it? It sounds like it's relatively the same before the Khmer Rouge came in. Is that true?
Before the Khmer
Rouge? Yeah. So like when you were, let's say, like from your birth to before 12. Was that time period about the same lifestyle as
when I was in Vietnam?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Not the same. Our life changed during the time that when we left our city and our home in the capital city in Cambodia, our life changed completely. Remember, Vietnam was also that time Vietnam War. And the war ended, and the Vietnamese communists also took over the Vietnam country. And so the entire country is also under communist rule.
But it's better than Cambodia.
Yes.
It's better.
To us, it's a lot better because, first of all, at least there's no killing.
The mm-hmm.
At least they're still
living in the city,
In market home. Going on, there's still hospital.
School,
except
everything,
that everything was tightly controlled.
But the line a little bit difficult, but compared to Cambodia at that time, it's a lot better.
Even though it's difficult, I have to say, not easy,
but not easy,
you compare to what when we was in Cambodia during that time, the short period of time, the communists, it's much better.
It's much better,
However, I have to say that when we get to Vietnam, we get there as a refugee, and so therefore the Vietnamese people, government, they do not intend to let us live there for a long time. So they only allow us to live they give us permission every 3 months or 6 months, I believe. My mom had to go to the security office to make them sign a paper extend our stay for temporary stay. And in Vietnam, during the time, if everything's so controlled, you had to have permanent residency to go to school, to go to work, to travel, or do anything. You had to permanent residency, and we don't have that. We just have a temporary paper to stay.
So then how did you get to America then?
Oh, man, that's a long story.
Our uncle, our relative sponsored us. That's why we can come to America.
Not initially. Because I remember.
How did he track you guys down? How did he know you were in Vietnam? Or how did he even know you survived?
My uncle lived in Vietnam when I came to Vietnam. He still lived there.
Okay.
And after that, he came to America, and then he know that, so he sponsored us to come.
But remember, initially, we was not able to, even though we know, I will tell you more about, but initially, even though we have relatives in USA, we was afraid to communicate with them. Because I remember, that's just the end of the Vietnam War, and Vietnam and America was enemy. So therefore, if you have anything that connected to USA, it might get you to trouble. Because I have two uncles that came to USA for study before the war. And we know where they live, but however, we were afraid to send letter to them. So what do we do is my parents send letter to Hong Kong and ask a relative to forward the letter, and this is... But then, even then still, they could not do anything for us.
There's no
a relationship between Vietnamese and U.S., so they could not sponsor us. They could not do anything for us.
Until 1984, right?
Until later.
The war, right?
No, a long time after
long
the war.
Long time after the war.
Yes,
war
75.
And then,
In
then
the 80s.
1984.
That's why we live in Vietnam. We don't know where to. We live in this constant mode of don't know what's going to happen next, where's tomorrow, because the Vietnamese would not like us to stay. That's why they only signed the paper for every 3 months you had to go to renew and ask for more. And I was not able to go to school because without this residency paper, we were not allowed to go to school. So I live in state of limbo.
So when you did finally get sponsored, what was it like? Did you flew? How big was the plane though? How many people were going with you to the U.S.?
I didn't come to U.S. directly.
Oh, right. Yeah,
because I... Yeah, when I had to go to...
Thailand.
I had to go to Thailand.
Then go to Philippines.
I had to go to Thailand to... do some kind of paperwork.
I think it's 2 weeks.
After the paperwork, they sent us to the Philippines, the refugee camp.
I guess that makes sense, right? Because it wasn't American territory by that time. Philippines?
Philippines was not. Philippines was an independent country. Oh, but really? but there's what we call UNHCR, United Nations High Refugee Committee or something like that. There's some agreement that to let Philippines, let people to go to Philippines as refugee.
And preparing for the United States. For my situation, I don't need to go to the Philippines. I just directly from Vietnam to Thailand. And then I live in Thailand like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the paperwork, health exam, and then they will teach us what is American life is. So
I think that's how basically we had to do. That's like when we left Cambodia to Vietnam. I don't speak a word of Vietnamese. Your mom doesn't speak anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 1 week. After that, even at 12 years old, for some reason, that event happened, it makes us more resilient and stronger. When we get to Vietnam, we think something...
We do everything.
Nobody has to say or tell anything. We
just do it.
We do anything. We learn. We try to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
And now the same thing as when they sent to the Philippines. Okay, you have to learn another language, prepare us to go to America. So we are learning English a little bit here and there.
You didn't come here?
So when you came here, what was your first day like? How did you were talking about how each day for you was, you're focused on the next thing, what's happening next, just to focus on your survival like that. Did you know when you stepped in America, that was your, one of the last like times that you would say, oh, it's the, there's no more next thing. You knew this was like the place that you...
Yeah, we live permanently. So we are so excited, and then...
But how did you know that, though? Were you certain that America would provide you this haven? Because...
I remember, we don't know. We just know that when we come to America, in terms of do we have to resettle somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
we are quite sure, because we know a lot of refugees being accepted to America when they live in the camp.
We hear that.
And so we do know that we will come here unless we will probably settle here permanently. However, the thing that we don't know is that we don't know what are we going to do in America. Because remember, I come in here uneducated, penniless, have no skill whatsoever. So I don't know what I'm going to do. However, that's one thing I believe, same as your mom too, and same a lot of refugees. We just know that when we come here, we will do whatever we do. We will survive. We will manage to survive. We have a good life. And we know that somehow it will happen.
Mm.
I just don't know what, even though without any skill and only primary elementary education, no money, but for some reason we never... I don't know, what did you say?
We never think that it's a hardship. We just say, okay,
yeah.
When we come here, whatever, they hire us to work, so we just work.
So
exactly.
I don't pick any job. So whatever they offer me, I go to the grocery store or supermarket, so I apply it. So you know, they just accept us. Somehow it's easy at that time.
I guess because of easy all, to all find the event the previous that happened during, because remember, everything laid out here make us, like I said, make us stronger and more resilient, resourceful. And I think all these things prepare our mindset, say, oh, when we get here, it could not be worse than what we went through. And then we know exactly that we will survive somehow. We will, and we don't choose. And we just keep, we just believe that we're coming here. Whatever we have to do, we do. And we...
So when I come here, the second day I went to work for my uncle's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I just work and then I start to save money for a year. After that, I buy a car. I bought a car. So I'm so happy that I can come to America.
So that's...
And able to work.
Yeah, just and yeah. able to
work. And live free without freedom. Fearing out. Knowing that at least this is the... step that you will be here without having to think, oh, what happened to me tomorrow?
Yeah.
Where I'm going to be?
So that's something I want to talk about me now. Because you were talking about how your past experiences led you to have this enthusiasm, like an optimistic view about I'll take any job, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something I kind of struggle with. In terms of my education and my life, I feel like I do have that motivation to learn, to find that job that I want, but I don't have that instinctive drive that was, you know, instilled in you when you, after coming to America. And I, do you have any advice for me? Or any thoughts about that?
I would say that remember, just right now, good first thing, just like me, for my case, right? Mm-hmm. When I got here, and just like everybody else, and then I started to go to school, but I really don't know, what should I say? I never planned so big in front of me in my case,
mm-hmm.
because I'm get so used to survival mode like that. So when you're in survival mode, you don't think that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go, and then after a while, when I get to USA, my uncle suggested I should go to school, even though it has been a long time I've been in school, and last time I was 12 years old, the last time I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big gap. And for something, I faced even school the same way I faced in my life. I go to school, okay. I will have to survive it. I will have to do it. I will have to make it. So I'm starting to went to Nova and learn English ESL. And after learning ESL, I get a little bit comfortable with English. I start to go into learn other skills, and then I get into learn major in computer science. However, it seems that I'm not sure. I never expressed it myself, but I have a sense of
urgency.
Confident. No, I'm not urgency. A sense of confidence that I will make it. I don't know how. I don't know how I will make it, but I will make it. I will make through school. And I give myself no failure, no other option but to be successful. That's the way too. You can tell yourself and say, yeah. But however, I do study very hard.
Yeah.
Right.
I do study very hard, and then I'm just not worried about nothing else. Because I study hard, and I have confidence in myself and don't give myself option thinking that I'm going to fail and think, I don't know.
You just go to what major that you like most. You interest more, so you will pick that.
Yeah,
I think life sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know. You don't know that what.
I think sometimes what probably is, you. My suggestion is that, hey, maybe it's easy for me to say because I've been through so many challenges, mm-hmm. and so it's easy for me to say. I say, oh, life will turn out okay at the end.
Because most likely, it would, whatever situation that you end up with after your education, it'll be like exponentially better than what it was if you live in
Cambodia. That's a problem in my case. That's why it gave me so much confidence that, hey, I'm come from the bottom here. Anything else could not be worse than that.
Right.
That's why I say, hey, but for you, I think just study hard and learn and keep your eye open. And
I feel like there's a kind of like a shift that occurs in young adults to that mindset of being a professional adult. And I don't know like when it happens, but I see it in you guys. I don't know how to express it, but
this is not something that you have to think about, to plan about.
It just
happen naturally. Look at Nestor.
Yeah.
Right, he graduates and look at now. He's kind of
I noticed that too.
That does he plan for it? Does he has a ritual and say, I have to go to school and do this and this and that to get to the point? Probably not. It just so happened. Once you finish school and you find a work, you go to work and then you start to see this work environment and you see how people professionally people, and then you say, oh, this is what it is, and then you just move into it.
Okay, thanks for that advice. I wanted to ask you about your transition into a parent now. When you first had me, or when you first saw me, first held me, what was your, or to Jeff first,
mm-hmm.
What'd you feel? Like, how would you feel?
Excited.
Were you already thinking about how her future would be? How, is that the main goal of immigrants? Because I hear a lot that when immigrants get to the U.S., their goal is to first make sure that they survive and then plan for their second generation to do better than them.
That's my expectation. That's my expectation. However, I don't plan that. Did you have to do this? You have to do that. Because you are correct. A lot of refugees come in here. They sacrifice a lot. They start from nothing. They sacrifice. They move, and then they went through a lot of difficulty, hardship. Here, we came here. I come here without language. I don't speak much English. The culture, the education, everything's so different. However, we have this, that's hardship, difficult. But we work hard. And then we don't want our offspring, our children, to have to go through what we went through. We want them to be better. We want them anything else to just for the sake of to be better than us, because we know what this hardship is, and we don't want anybody to have to go through that, especially our children.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be better in that sense. Yes.
More education too. Because we don't get any opportunity to go to the college.
So what have you learned from being a parent?
Just naturally.
But did you learn anything?
As a parent.
Especially since you got Jajet and me. So did you learn to do anything different with me? Did you learn anything that you had to do with Jajet first?
When your sister was born, we don't know anything to be a parent.
Right. And did it also would you say, Mama, was she she probably wasn't a very hands-on type of parent, especially living in those situations.
Right, yes. My parent was not a hands-on parent.
Right.
They pretty let us free.
So how did that affect your parenting development?
I don't know how does it has an effect on me or not. I'm not sure, but however, as you come in here, I st- stuff. I read book, I read a lot of that. I see, and then I see something that's work. So that's how I learned to be a parent, is from reading, from watching other people, and what is I think is good, and I try to find the balance between, because remember where we come from. We come from very traditional family.
Mm-hmm.
Very, and I would say pretty conservative. And yet I don't want to be that. I want to be some balance. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But
mm-hmm.
I just try to be the best for my children. That's all I'm trying to say. Whatever I do, I'm always thinking that is the best interest of my children.
Is there anything you wish you would have done differently when raising me?
Yeah, there's a few things. I probably would make you work, read more, and probably would take you to do more activity with you. I probably would do more activity with you. Like something like...
Yeah, spend time with you.
I think I spend time with you okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would see more variety. Thing like right now we do, I want to spend time with you in your swimming and your karate.
Mm-hmm.
I do take you to the library quite often.
Yeah, I remember
when you were younger. Yeah, but then probably there's some other thing, probably like some other thing, I'm not sure.
And then if this was the last conversation we ever had, what's one wish or hope or advice that you would want to tell me or your future generations if they ever hear this?
You want to? What?
Oh, I hope you, oh, I want to advise you that I know that you learn very hard. I know that you put a lot of effort on learning, but I just want you to be success in your future.
Mm-hmm.
And learn harder, and then in order to get to the, you know, your major, what you like it. Mm-hmm. And then you can graduate and find a good job, have a good future.
Yeah, I just want to see you guys, not my offspring generation.
Yeah,
to,
don't like us, we to, don't
to,
have
to,
any...
To expand, to be more...
Yeah.
To be better than us.
Yeah,
not
to
be
better than us.
Good people.
Mm-hmm.
And living your life happy and have confidence in yourself. Have confidence in your future. Have confidence in your generation. Because mm-hmm. There's sometimes I hear your sister talk about, oh, how come you have a lot of experience, me, to talk to me? Because of the event that I went through. But there's no need for that to have experience, right? That I don't wish anybody to have to go through those difficulty to learn what I've learned. There's other way to learn. But it seems you guys are doing okay, doing well. But just keep doing that and have confidence in yourself.
Yeah, because I think I kind of feel the same way as Jijie when she talked to you about that. I think about that sometimes, and I'm like, I know I have these expectations from you, and
oh yeah, I
don't want to like let your whole build up that you gave me to like.
I will not deny. Yes, I have very high expectation from you and your sister.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's my expectation. I'm not saying that, but I don't want to put pressure on you guys that you have to do this, you have to do that. My expectation, put it this simple. Just be better than us. Just be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to be this successful.
Mm-hmm.
Just be successful. Just be a good people. Be happy. And continue on our family tradition. Value and live on. Live your own life. Of course, every parent won't expect their children to do better, to be better. That's what we call this moving up the ladder. But if you don't, it's not going to be the end of the world. And you don't have to cross the way that I'm, the path that I'm traveling, because this is not Cambodia, this is different. So therefore, there's not only one path that to be successful, there's so many paths to be successful. And successful is not only way that I define it. This is, because remember, this is my experience, this is what I went through, that's why I see success as this way, but there's more than one way to be successful. And successful is very, not at one point, it's very large. Successful, you don't have to be the super rich to be successful. You know? Things like that. Successful in terms of as a person. Right? What you do to your life, what you do to your family, what you do to your society, that's successful. As long as you're not, what I'm trying to say is that as long as you're not bad people, not bad, and then you'll be living good, then that's a first successful, and then, and it takes some time too. Just like me, I am 50 some years old now. My first 20 some years old, I am not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. That's all I want to talk about with you today. And
yeah,
I learned a lot.
It's very fun. It's very fun talking.
I'm glad we
could
this
go more than that. We could skip a lot of detail. That's okay. Yeah. I really want to live on this experience from this during the wartime to my offspring to hear about that. That's part of me.
Yeah.
And I believe that part of me that make me what I am today.
So if not
bad or good, I don't know. There must be some bad thing because some of my friends suggested that I'm still living like a refugee because I'm still fighting survival every day the way that's what they see. Some I'm not sure. Dr. Mui. Tell me that. Jane, you are trying to survive every day. I don't know. I don't see that in myself. But he did say that. But hey.
But in the other hand, that I still said that I'm so. I still said that I experienced all the bad bad thing that happened in my teenager, but I'm still said that I'm lucky to be if not Cambodia like that. So today I cannot live in America.
Yeah, we are so thankful and grateful for what we have today to this world. Like you said, like compared to what we were, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't even think of the future.
But I'm thankful that you guys tell me about your experience. I think it really helps me understand our history, and it shapes me into the person that I am as well, and I really appreciate that about both of you guys.
I hope so, welcome. Yeah. I know, but there's some other way to shape you. It's just you too, but
okay.
This is one aspect of it because life is not just one aspect, right? It's multifaceted. So you learn from here, from there, and then you take all the good thing and you put them together to be your own. Mm-hmm. It's not everything from me or from your mom, but you learn as a whole, right? From here and there.
From society, from the school. When we come out, come out to work.
Initially, when you were so young, you learn, try to copy everything exactly like her. But as you grow older, you know that, okay, you learn from here and there, and whatever doesn't work from us, you take away and you plug it in, whatever the good, and make your own. This is your own experience. This is your own personality. That's how it makes so unique who you are. But there's some in us, in you, yes. There will be some traits that you just like your father. Yeah, that's some.
Yeah.
But it's going to be your own unique experience that have all this combination of everything here that make so you, nobody else.
Okay, so thank you so much for you interview us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call. Yeah,
it's good because it brings us back the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like to talk about it because I'm afraid that